to our reading today, John the Baptist points to Jesus after perhaps his baptism. He points his disciples to him, John's disciples, I mean, and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When we speak about faith, one great example is a New Testament character by the name of Abraham. Even though Sarah, his wife, was barren or did not have the ability to be pregnant, God promised a son to Abraham. And at the age of 89, Sarah gave birth to a son and named him Isaac. The meaning of the name Isaac is quite interesting. He will laugh. Why? Because Sarah laughed when the angel told Abraham that Sarah would give birth to a child at the age of 89, and she laughed. "God has made me laugh," Sarah said, "and all who hear will laugh with me." That's from Genesis 21, verse 6. So we know why the name of Isaac means like laughter. Then God tells Abraham to offer his son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. Without hesitation, he saddled his donkey and went to the mountain to offer his son Isaac. Again, I always come to a point of asking, why would Abraham yield to this nonsensical command of God? Each time, it really helps me with my faith to understand why did Abraham yield to such a demand from God, if you will, that did not have any sense. Why give Abraham a son and then ask him, and later ask him to be sacrificed on the altar? The epistle to the Hebrews gives us a clue that Abraham received a vision that God will raise Isaac from the dead. Well, thanks be to God. That's the reason why he had such confidence. That means Abraham had such confidence in God that if God wanted him to offer his son Isaac, and God wanted him to have heirs like the stars in heaven, then it means God would have to do something. And Abraham was not worried how God was going to do it. But he believed in his heart that even if he offered Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. Let us learn, my brothers and sisters, from this attitude of Abraham, that even when we lay our relatives, you know, when we bury our relatives, always have in mind of the promise of the resurrection. Keep that thought for a moment, and we will go to our gospel reading today. And I'm going to go back to the story of Abraham and Isaac. As I said, Jesus meets John again and pointing Jesus to his disciples, or his disciples to Jesus. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I wonder what John's disciples thought after hearing these words from John the Baptist. I wonder what came to their minds. They were Jews. And John said, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I can only guess that immediately they thought of the Paschal lamb, which was killed at twilight sunset to commemorate Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt, the story of Exodus, that many Jewish family would celebrate on Friday at sunset. That is what they were thinking. And now it's not an animal, but it's now Jesus Christ. So I can imagine what was going on in their minds. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice that God has given, or God has provided for sin. Not an animal or blood of an animal. The blood of Christ poured on Calvary's ground would mean for us and for creation, for humanity, the washing away of sin. The blood of Christ poured out in a loving sin offering for God, and resulting to God in human reconciliation. Again, I would like to say that pagan religions demand blood to appease a capricious God dealing with stubborn humans. Instead, our God gave his blood on the cross, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed in Jesus Christ, gave his precious blood for you and for me. What should we do then when the priest at the Mass says, "Behold the Lamb of God," you know, as he takes the chalice and the paten and the blood and the body of Christ. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We hear this all the time. The word "behold" is more than simply looking at something. The word "behold" means to know by perception. "Behold the Lamb of God." The priest doesn't say, "See the Lamb of God." No, "behold the Lamb of God." The priest calls us to something deeper and more profound, to know Christ in the Eucharist by perception. From the words of St. Ambrose, he said, "The Lamb of God was the prize of our freedom." You know, many people think that freedom is free. No. The reason why you and I have freedom is because someone paid for that freedom, so you and I might have freedom. As Peter says, "You were redeemed with the precious blood, not of a lamb, but of him who came in meekness and humility like a lamb, and freed the whole world with a single offering of his body." As he himself said, I was led like a lamb to be sacrificed. Why a lamb? Well, a lamb is a sign, you know, is a symbol of meekness and humility. But I would like to go back to Genesis chapter 22, as I said a moment ago. Abraham saddled his donkey, went to the mountain in obedience to the Lord. And on the way, Isaac, his son, turned to his father and said, "Father, where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said to Isaac, "God will provide." And then when Abraham was ready, he put Isaac on the altar and was ready to kill him as a sacrifice and let his blood flow on the ground. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." Not only was his name called once, but twice. Speaking about stopping Abraham because Abraham was so willing to offer Isaac on the altar of sacrifice. And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy and do not anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And then God said, and then the reading says, God will provide. And God provided a ram that was caught in a thicket. And so we speak about Abraham, but I would like to also speak about Isaac. Moreover, in Christ, it was not only an animal that God provided. He provided a lamb from heaven. That through his incarnation, Jesus, the Son of God, will become the lamb that one day would lay down his very humanity, very life, on behalf of the world. Why a lamb? Because of its character of meekness and humility. So as much as we always speak about Abraham when we speak about faith, I also would like to underscore or point to Isaac. Isaac is the prototype of Jesus, who was willing to die on the cross. Jesus willingly submitted to suffering and death because of his love. Again, let me recall to us that you might have perhaps an opportunity this Lent to watch the movie The Passion of Christ. Jesus, on that movie, crawled to the cross. It's like he was, "I want to do this for them." He was not forced. He was not coerced. He went to the cross by himself. He crawled to the cross. I thought that was pretty powerful. He crawled to the cross. Why? He wanted to die for you and for me, that you and I might have life. My brothers and sisters, this is what we think when we hear the priest say, This is, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was meek, who was humble. From Isaiah, for he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and was dumb as a lamb before its shearers, saying, I was an innocent lamb being led to be sacrificed. As I said, Isaac was the prototype pointing to Jesus, who demonstrated utter willingness and total obedience to the Father by going to the cross. Like a lamb, Jesus was more than willing to die on the cross for us. And like a lion, he trampled death by his death for us. What a contrast, am I not right? Lamb, humble and meek, and a lion that trampled death. My brothers and sisters, the message today, when we hear the word or the phrase, behold the Lamb of God, is our willingness to walk the way of faith and to walk in obedience. That is the message when we hear those words during the Mass.